Hi, and welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. I'm Eric, your host, bringing you the latest news, events, and commentary from the Star Wars community. We've got a great show lined up for you today, but before we get started, I want to address some of the feedback I've gotten recently. First of all, most of you who wrote in said you liked the segment with the guest co-host, but that you didn't want the format of the show to change. Don't worry, having guest hosts on the show will happen every now and then, but we're not changing the format of the show. Also, a while back I asked you guys for feedback on two different topics, but I only covered one of them so far. I'm trying to spread out the listener feedback show so they're not too close to each other. Don't worry, if you wrote in about the television series, I'm still going to be doing a feedback show on that. Also, a while back, Debbie emailed me telling me that I needed to, as she put it, quote a girl in the podcast. So, Debbie, there you go. Seriously, as I explained to her, I'm not being sexist. I just don't get hardly any emails from our lady listeners out there. However, she's right. It wouldn't hurt to get a woman's point of view on the show, so I've got something in the works that I hope you guys will like. I hope you girls will like. You know what I mean. A couple of you have actually written in about my dog Kessel, believe it or not, suggesting that she should be the show's mascot and that I should include her somehow. Well, I talked to her about it, and she said that being the show's mascot would be a step down from her current position as the show's production manager. So unfortunately, she turned me down. As for being on the show, that's a little hard to do, but if you check out today's show notes on the website, I'll point you to a clip I'm saving for the blooper reel I'm going to throw together someday. So for those of you who are curious about what an argument with my production manager sounds like, be sure to check out the extra link in today's show notes. Finally, I still get a lot of emails about the segment I did a while back on the books, which was interesting because, really, I wasn't sure how well it'd go over. But it was popular enough that I've invited Jay from RebelScum.com to cover the prequel novels in much the same way as I covered the New Republic novels. So stay tuned for that in a future show. In today's show, Jay's going to be telling us about the book releases from now through the beginning of next year. And then we'll wrap up today's show with a short interview from Jeremy Bullock from the C3 convention. But first, here are a couple of quick news items. If you're into collecting, you probably already know about the 12-inch Portrait Edition dolls. If you don't know about them, then you probably at least know that almost all of the female dolls and action figures up until recently have been rather, well, ugly. These Portrait Edition dolls were some of the best quality renditions I've ever seen. Yet after releasing three Queen Amidala dolls from Episode 1, the line abruptly stopped. Some collectors from the forums at TFN have started a petition to be presented to Hasbro at the Comic-Con convention in July. They're requesting the line be started back up again. I wanted to bring this up on the podcast because even though I got out of collecting a few years ago, I firmly support the idea of having high-quality collectibles on the market, and these are, without question, high quality. If you'd like more information on the story, or if you'd like to sign the petition, there's a link to the forums post on the main TFN webpage right now. And as a reminder, if it gets shoved off the main page by newer posts, you can click the More News link on the yellow bar beneath the current news for a much larger list. A few shows ago, I mentioned that Michael Stackpole, writer of the best-selling Rogue Squadron novels, has started up a podcast. Well, he's gone a step beyond that. It's been killing me that I've had to keep this a secret, but I'm happy to announce that Michael Stackpole has started the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, which goes live today, and I'm honored that he's asked TheForce.net to be one of its flagship members. I know that many of you are fans of sci-fi and fantasy in general, so I thought that you guys would be interested in knowing a little bit more about this. The site is hosted at tsfpn.com, which stands for the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, and you can get to the forums by clicking the link above the directory listings. The site basically is a directory of sci-fi-related podcasts, such as our podcast here at TheForce.net, though it also covers fantasy and movie podcasts, too. One of the great features on the site is the rating system. I know that a lot of people listen to podcasts at work, and I also know that there are many podcasts out there whose language can get some listeners in trouble. So what Mike's done is he's asked each of the podcast shows to rate themselves according to one of three ratings. There's a GA rating, indicating it's okay for a general audience, for everyone. There's a 14 rating, which is kind of like a PG rating. It's got a little bit stronger language and more mature content, but probably wouldn't get anybody in trouble if they listened to it at work. Then he's got an NSFW rating, which stands for Not Safe for Work. And the point there isn't to censor anyone. The ratings are just there so the listeners know what's safe to listen to based on their current setting. Even though they just went live today, they've already got a really good lineup going. So if you're looking for more podcasts to listen to, this is a great place to start. That site again is www.tsfpn.com. As for Mr. Stackpole himself, I'll be interviewing him later this week, so keep listening for that. And now I'm happy to introduce Jay from RebelScum.com. Jay's our resident expert on anything book, comic, or chronology related. And today he's here to give us a scoop on what books are coming out over the next few months.
Okay, today we've got Jay from RebelScum.com, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about upcoming novels. Jay, how's it going?
Pretty good.
First, let's get to know you a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in Star Wars and the fan community and stuff like that.
Well, I was kind of an online fan lurker for a very long time, and just a couple years ago, I posted a comic index site on the web, and that got the interest of the folks over at Rebel Scum, and they asked if I wouldn't mind coming to join their team. So I was more than excited, having been a fan of Rebel Scum since the very first inception of the site and even before then. So I've been posting news on Rebel Scum for the last couple of years, as well as running the Jedi Journals, which is a comic-based index of basically I'm trying to index every comic that's has ever come out having anything to do with Star Wars.
That's no small task.
No, it's not. I mean, there's. I think at the moment there's over 700 titles,
wow.
700 individual books that I'm putting on there. And but I've been a fan and collecting since, you know, 77 with the LOL, and then the comics probably brought me back to it in 91 with the Dark Empire, and then I soon discovered that they were actually publishing books again after that. So I've always been a big fan of the published material as well.
Excellent. Now, a lot of people are just discovering Rebel Scum for the first time, believe it or not. How long has Rebel Scum been around?
Oh, gee, Rebel Scum's been around about almost 10 years now. So
wow.
Before that, they were just Philip's Star Wars site, Philip Wise being the man that runs Rebel Scum.
Right.
And I've been a fan ever since. I actually came up with their initial slogan to get people to visit the site. So there's some page hidden in the 10,000 pages of content we have there that has my winning quote in it.
Interesting.
We got a bunch of novels to talk about here, so I don't want to waste a lot of time. I know your time is precious on these podcasts.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start with the fiction books.
Okay, we've got the next fiction book coming out is going to be in August, and it's part of the Dark Nest trilogy, which fans may have heard about. It's called The Joiner King, and written by Troy Denning, and that's going to be the first one out. Now, I don't know a lot of information about some of these new books. There's just been a slew of stuff coming out on them, so I probably am no good unless you know something about what the plot is in this.
I haven't really heard much about the plot. Time it's set in, it's going to be a new Jedi Order, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
These are going to take place before the announced Legacy books, which is going to be the new era of books that's going to be coming out within 2006-2007.
Okay.
Then we've got another young adult book that's going to be coming out, The Last of the Jedi, number 2. I don't know that the subtitle on that book is coming out. That's going to be by Jude Watson and follow the adventures of Obi-Wan Kenobi post Revenge of the Sith. Then, let's see, jumping down to October, we've got the second book in the Dark Nest trilogy called The Unseen Queen. And that will be followed at the, looks like the end of October, roughly around the release of the DVDs by Star Wars Dark Lord, which is James Luceno's follow-up to Revenge of the Sith, which kind of bookends the trilogy begun by Labyrinth of Evil, also by James Luceno, and Revenge of the Sith by Matthew Stover, following Vader's coming to terms, I guess, with the Sith Lord that he is now and why he has done what he has done, I guess. That's kind of the take, I guess, that they're doing for that book. So,
in the same way that Labyrinth of Evil rolled right into Episode 3, this one will be rolling right out of Episode 3. Is that correct?
That's what we've been told on a couple of chats with Sue Rastoni on the official Star Wars boards.
Okay.
And as fans may recall, that book actually was scheduled to be released, I believe, next February. It has actually swapped places with the book that was due to be released in November. So Dark Lord will be coming in November, and we'll talk about the book that's coming out in February in just a second.
Okay.
The next book that's coming out chronologically will be around December, it looks like, and that is going to be Dark Nest 3, The Swarm War, completing the Dark Nest trilogy. And then the end of January, beginning of February, is Outbound Flight Project, which Timothy Zahnfan's been waiting for quite a while for this book.
Right.
And it was actually due in November, and I think some people probably believe it still is coming out in November. Just last week in the Star Wars Celebrity VIP section, Stu Rostoni let people know that they have swapped the release dates yet again for Outbound Flight and Dark Lord here, so that my thought is that because Dark Lord deals with Darth Vader, the DVDs are coming out in November. For those people that aren't aware of that, the DVD of Revenge of the Sith will be out then. So
right.
I think they're just trying to capitalize on that. And so fans just have to wait a couple
sense.
More months. But, you know, I'm sure Zahn will not disappoint.
Oh, absolutely not.
And then the final book that it looks like that is known about at the moment that I've got on my list is Star Wars Republic Commando 000 by Karen Travis. That's due, I think Amazon's putting it around March right now. It's not a set date. It's going to be a sequel follow-up to the Republic Commando Hard Contact book, and it's going to deal with the Delta and the Omega squadrons having to return to Coruscant about a year after the Battle of Geonosis.
Okay, now there's a short story in the Star Wars Insider that was part of that storyline, is that correct?
Yes, and the name of the short story escapes me. It was probably 3 or 4 issues ago in the Insider,
yeah.
And that follows, that kind of takes place in between these two paperbacks.
Okay. Now, you mentioned before the Legacy era.
Right.
We don't really have any information on titles or anything like that, right?
Nope.
We know
it's going to be a 9-book series, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And I don't even think that we have any information as to people that are writing it. I'm trying to recall back what I might have heard at C3, and I don't...
Yeah, I remember some rumors about some of the authors. I don't remember anything about the orders or anything like that. I do remember that it was going to be a hardcover and then 2 paperbacks, and
yeah,
they were going to repeat that format 3 times, I think.
Yeah, it's going to follow the New Jedi Order sort of style of release,
right.
I think, and releasing the books in the chronological order that you should read them, which is kind of the way Del Rey's been releasing their books throughout the publications that they...
And I think that works well. That's one of the hardest things to keep track of about the novel set after Return of the Jedi is just keeping track of the release dates versus the chronological storylines.
Yeah, so. that always messed with me because, you know, is Leia, is she the leader, or is she turned down and is Mon Mothma leading now? So
right, it's not even just so much keeping track of what to read when and what order to buy books in as much as it is just when you're actually reading it, keeping track of where different characters are in the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as soon as more information comes out about that, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that. And they should, by the end of this year, they should start releasing some more information about that since it's I think it's due to start coming out in 2006.
Okay. Well, what do we have for nonfiction then?
Well, there's a lot of nonfiction coming up. It's very heavy on the DK side, the Dorian Kingersley side.
Okay.
The first one we're going to see is the Star Wars poster book in September, and that's going to be a coffee... Let me just back up. Most of these are going to be coffee table books, so basically when I hear K books, I always think dollar signs in front of it. So this is going to be a $50
right.
coffee table book.
Okay.
It's high-quality reproductions of different Star Wars posters. So if you're really into poster art, I think this is going to be a book that you're going to want to get.
Right.
I believe it's going to be showing the evolution of all the different posters from the film release posters as well as character art posters that have been done for various releases throughout the saga.
Hmm.
Then also in September, it looks like there's going to be a Chronicles 2, the prequels. Chronicles 1 was Stephen Sansweet's book that basically has a bunch of... It works in 2 ways. It was sort of a behind-the-scenes Lucas Archives shots of props and costumes along with some in-universe explanation of different characters and events and things like that.
Okay.
So this is going to be focused on the prequels, and Stephen Sansweet's also going to be involved, and I believe Pablo Hidalgo from StarWars.com is also going to be involved as a content provider for this.
Hmm.
So that should be a really interesting book. I'm looking forward to that. But, again, it's a high-dollar book. It's going to be about $150, it looks like.
Wow. Okay.
Then the next book that is coming up is Dressing a Galaxy, The Costumes of Star Wars. This is by Tricia Bigger, who's the costume designer for the 3 prequels. And it's basically going to be a hardcover, high-quality photo book that follows the evolution of her costume design and you get to see all the different versions of her costumes that things that you might have only glimpsed on screen very briefly. They're supposed to have very nice pictures of stuff in here, of course, probably focusing a lot on Padme's gowns, I would guess, but
right.
even the Jedi outfits and things like that, as well as the digital costumes that were created because she had to come up with fabric samples for those. This book is going to be released in two different editions. There's the mass market edition, which is going to be $50 as well, and that's going to be, you know, that's going to have a whole slew of content in it. There's also going to be a special, quote-unquote, collector's edition. That's going to clock in at a whopping $295, which I believe
wow.
will be the most expensive Star Wars book to date.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Now, what do you get for that additional $250 there? Well, they're going to include a DVD with some, it just says some commentary, behind-the-scenes Lucasfilm commentary, so I'm not sure of what else is going to be on there. You also will get some extra gatefolds, fabric samples, overlays of costume layers, as well as a replica of a Wookiee belt buckle. So,
wow.
to me, that sounds like that really makes up for that extra price jump. But
yeah, they're actually packing in quite a bit of stuff in there.
Exactly. Then we have a pair of DK books that are going to fill out the existing visual dictionary and Inside the Worlds of Lines. There's the Star Wars Complete Locations Inside the Worlds of Episode 3. So that's going to finally come out, and we're going to get our Episode 3 version of the Inside the Worlds book. They're also doing a Star Wars Complete Location Inside the Worlds of Episodes 1 to 6. Not much is known about this book at this time. It's been solicited for a while on Amazon, but there hasn't been an official announcement about this on StarWars.com yet. Those both come out in October. There's also, in October, Creating the Worlds of Star Wars 365 Days by John Knoll, who is the visual effects supervisor for
right.
the prequels. And this focuses on photos that he's taken on set, as well as Lucas archive photos from the original films. And I think this is going to feature his 365-degree panoramic photography that was featured on the Knoll Vision segments in Hyperspace as well.
Okay.
And then there's a final one that's listed at Christmas time. DK is also talking about publishing a complete visual dictionary for episodes 1 through 6 as well. So probably combining the best elements of their visual dictionary series for episodes 1 through 6, plus hopefully some new stuff so it's not just a rehash and a repackaging of the existing material. That would make it worthwhile for me to buy it. Otherwise,
yeah.
I might just end up passing on that.
Do you happen to know if it's going to be a summary of all of the different books or if it's going to be comprehensive?
It's unknown at the moment. The price point's putting it at about $40, it looks like.
Okay.
Whereas those books by themselves are going for $20. So I kind of can't see it as being a comprehensive guide. It probably is going to be a summary, but
yeah, that sounds about right.
New information in it as well.
Okay, excellent.
And that takes us up through the end of the year, and that's at least the information that I've got in my list here as far as nonfiction goes.
Okay, that's actually quite a bit more nonfiction stuff coming out than I was aware of. That's pretty good. A lot of times you hear a lot of press and marketing on the novels, but you don't hear too much about the nonfiction stuff until it's actually out. So
right.
This is,
yeah, they've there haven't been a lot of, like you say, a lot of press on this information.
Right.
A lot of this has been gleaned from, I'm just looking through what Amazon's putting up for pre-order, basically.
Yeah.
So, again, until it's officially announced on StarWars.com, don't count it as fact. But I can tell you that the poster book, Chronicles 2, and Creating the Worlds of Star Wars 365 Days, all three of those have been confirmed on StarWars.com in the past.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
We'll go ahead and have you on the show again as soon as we find out any more information on any of the new novels or nonfiction books coming out. And as you and I have discussed off the mic, we're going to have a couple segments on comic books, too.
That sounds good. I'd be more than happy to talk about those. I have a lot of information on those as well, as you may know, with the editing of Jedi Journals on RebelScum.com for anyone who wants to check out what I'm hoping to be a definitive Star Wars comic book index.
Yeah, it's an excellent resource. If you haven't checked it out already, I highly recommend you go check it out. So, I'm looking forward to that. Well, thanks a lot for appearing on the show today.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
At the Celebration 3 convention, I had the honor of interviewing Jeremy Bullock, best known as the original Boba Fett.
Hi, this is Eric with the podcast at TFN, and I'm here at Celebration 3 with Jeremy Bullock. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, good morning.
How did you get the role of Boba Fett?
Well, it was strange, really. I went up to the studio knowing that there was several bounty hunters to be cast for a few days shooting. And the interview was one of the nicest interviews I've ever had, because I put the outfit on and had to keep putting bits and pieces on. And they said, yeah, that looks pretty good. Okay, well, welcome aboard. It was that quick. And I thought, well, they're not even going to ask me to read. Well, little did I know at the time that Boba Fett had very few lines anyway. He was a man of few words. It was one of the easiest interviews. I fitted the suit, and that was it.
Now, many people don't realize this, but you've also had other roles throughout the Star Wars series, too.
Well, I played, there was a day on Empire Strikes Back where they suddenly realized they didn't have an actor to perform this role, grabbing Carrie Fisher in Cloud City and putting her in front of her, and she said, Luke, it's a trap. So I played this character called Lieutenant Shekel, purely because there was no actor available to play it. So I wasn't doing anything at the time, so as you did then, you obliged and said, yeah, okay, I'll step in and do it. And then in the new upcoming film, I mean, I think one's always careful to say, well, what happens? And I said, well, I wouldn't tell you what happens. You know, if I'm in the final cut, that's great, as this pilot. And that's all I know. I don't know where it's going to be fitted in, what it means, or anything. So,
assuming they don't cut the scene, we'll be able to spot you in episode 3, though.
I think so. As I said, if you're in the cinema and you brought popcorn and you drop some on the floor, by the time you go to pick it up, I'll have gone. So just be quick.
Okay. Now, I've seen a lot of photos. This is my first convention personally, but I've seen photos from you at a lot of other conventions, and you always seem to have your wife with you, and it's really cool that you can travel and bring your wife along with you on these things.
It's at a point where my three sons have grown up now, and they're big, they've got their own families, we have the grandchildren, and it's a chance for us to travel, and I think it's come at the right stage of a career that I've had for 47 years. And it's nice, because we tend to, when we're in America, if you're invited to an event, we then go off somewhere else. We see a bit of America. We rent a car. And it's fantastic.
Excellent.
So we've had a really nice time.
What are some of the more interesting places you've traveled to in regards to Star Wars conventions and signings and such?
Well, apart from America, because there's some nice places there, there's Japan, Guatemala, Mexico, Puerto Rico, everywhere, Australia, New Zealand. Been to a lot. Australia's a long, long way to go, and so if you go there, you'd have to stay for a couple of weeks. There's no point in going for an event and then come back 3 days later.
Absolutely
silly. So there are lots of places, and a lot in Europe. I'm about to go to Hungary, Budapest, which is a wonderful capital city, and I'm interested in going there. France, Belgium, Stockholm, Sweden, everywhere. So it's amazing. So the force is everywhere.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, you've got a book out here called Flying Solo. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, through fans, funnily enough, 4 years ago, I decided to write this book. And Flying Solo obviously has two meanings. Flying Solo is I captured Han Solo and I fly him to Jabba the Hutt. Plus, it is an expression we use when you leave drama school. You're on your own. You're flying solo. So it's all the trials and tribulations of when you were acting, growing up, trying to find somewhere to live when you're in the theatre, the different jobs you do. A lot of photos in it. So it's a fun book. But it took, if I'd known it was going to take 4 years to do, I might not have done it. But it's through fans that said, oh, you should write a book. You've done other things and you've done this. And 10%... is Star Wars, and the rest is the rest of my life.
Excellent.
It's a fun book.
Where can the people who didn't show up for the convention, where might they be able to find it?
They can look on jeremybullock.com, and they can go through PayPal, but I tend to take it to events, a certain amount of books. I obviously can't take too many, and I'd rather have the book so it's a one-to-one and I can explain about the book, but they can go through PayPal or through the website.
I've got one last question for you. Aside from Star Wars, what was your favorite acting role? What was your favorite thing?
Yeah, apart from Star Wars, which is obviously long in the memory, I think my favorite role was a play I did called Dangerous Obsession, which was a psychological thriller in the theater, and I did it for 2 years. The most exhausting job I've ever had, but very rewarding, a fantastic role to play.
Over the last few years, you've done a lot of conventions, and you've talked to a lot of fans, and really built up a reputation, and a lot of fans really love seeing you at conventions.
You know, I explain this to everyone. Here we are, we've got some pretty bad weather out there. There are people been standing in the rain to see George Lucas, to see us, to see different people, and they deserve, you know, 100%, a round of applause, because, you know, they come in, I say, oh, you're quite wet. Oh, well, it doesn't matter, we've come to see you. Thank you for coming to see us. Well, you have to thank them for coming here, because if people don't turn up, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no film. There's no convention. There's no event. So we're extremely lucky. And you know, I feel very good. This has been an incredible event. You'll never go to anything like this again.
Yeah.
This is, Celebration 2 was terrific. This has been very well organized, and having George here, I mean, everybody from Lucasfilm, from, I think everybody in the world is here. You know, I mean, when it's headline news on CNN, or there's a convention going on in Indianapolis, I mean, you've cracked it, haven't you, really? So the fans deserve, when I get back, I keep my website up to date, jeremybullock.com, and a lot of it will be me thanking the fans, because without them, there's nothing.
Well, on behalf of the fans, I'd like to thank you. This is going to go out to a lot of people who couldn't make it to this convention, and you kind of helped them through this interview, give them a little bit of the experience of being here, and we all appreciate that. So, Jeremy Bullock, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. I'd like to thank all of you who voted for us at PodcastAlley.com this month. We made it into the top 50, and we're still climbing. I really appreciate the comments you guys have left there, and as always, I want to encourage you guys to email us anytime you have questions, comments, or feedback. Our email address is podcast@theforce.net. As always, I should point out that the opinions expressed here belong to Mr. Bullock, Jay from Rebel Scum, and myself, and they don't necessarily represent the opinions of other TFN staff members, nor of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. Until next time, take care, and may the Force be with you.